I was shopping with a friend of mine a couple of years ago. His name was Rob, and he had a sudden death in the family, and he had to get a suit for the funeral. And he was in a band, and he was on the dole. He didn't have a suit to his name. We went to these sort of cheap places in Oxford Street, and one bloke said, "Oh, I've got a lovely suit, £29. And I thought, what is this going to look like? I couldn't wait for him to have to buy the suit. I went over to it, and it was all right, and I was gutted. It was just like a classic sort of dark suit, and it was nice, and had an electric blue sort of satin lining, and he was made up. So just to piss on his bonfire, I said, well, if it's that cheap, and it's that well made, and it's not in a sale, it means someone's been exploited. He went, what? I went, yeah, it's awful. It's like women and children exploited, and you'd just be adding to the problem, right? And he didn't buy it. And he went and sold a guitar at Record and Tape Exchange and bought a suit for 150 quid. And I felt bad, but then I thought, well, I was probably right. If, you know, they probably have used, like, really awful, cheap labour. And so just by doing that, and even though it's one person's little change, if everyone changes it, then we can all, do you know what I mean, make a difference. Still, 29 quid, though. It's all right, isn't it? I remember when I was... Actually, I wasn't a kid. I was about 25. me and my girlfriend had met this other couple. They'd moved down from the north, OK? And they used to come in the place where I used to work, and we had a couple of drinks with them. And then one day, they invited us to a party, and we went along. And one, it was a dinner party. They hadn't warned us about that. But two, it was with their parents, both sets of parents, their grandparents, and some great aunts and uncles that had come down from the north to see how they were getting on. So average age of about 85, right? And I think we were an afterthought. They thought, oh, we've got no one there our own age. Oh, what, Ricky and Jane, invite them. So I came along, and we're still sort of getting to know them. And as I say, I always just do, you know, muck around and make up jokes and see if I could, you know... us Brits, we use humour all the time. Two Brits meet, and it's the first one to get a gag out, OK? Whether it's irony, satire, silliness, we use it as a sword and a shield and a medicine, but mostly as a getting to know you. Are you like-minded, OK? So I told this joke. I started off lightly, in case they didn't like that sort of thing. I said, why did the little girl fall off the swing? Because she had no arms. Yeah, right? OK, sweet. And they laughed. A little bit louder than that. There was only two of them, so thanks, right? So I thought, OK, they get it. They like that sort of thing. And, you know, you up the ante a little bit. And I told this joke. Oh, OK. Let me have a little drink. Start the car? Right. I told this joke. I made sure the old people couldn't hear. Right, right. Father, sitting at home, reading the paper. His little girl comes running in. She's only six. Hello, dear. Hello, Daddy. What have you been doing then? Been playing in the park. Oh, with your friends? Yeah, until the man came along. Until the man came along? Yeah, a man came along, and he asked my friends to leave, so it was just me and him. Darling, come over here. Come here, darling. Whatever happened, none of it was your fault, OK? But tell Daddy every detail. What happened, darling? What happened? He took me behind a wall so no one could see what we were doing. Oh, God, darling, and then what happened? He took my dress off. Oh, God, darling. What happened then? What happened then? He took his thing out. Oh, God. What happened then, darling? Nothing, that was it. Oh, we'll make something up. Don't tell anyone that. I want it to be a surprise. So I told that joke, and I carried on. We're getting a bit drunk, and I'm telling more jokes. Eventually, we sat down about 9:45. They put two sort of kitchen tables together, and the host sat at either end, and they sat me in the middle opposite this very sweet but very deaf sort of 80-year-old man. So the conversation was a bit stilted. And after about 20 minutes, Ian, one of the hosts, pipes up and says, oh, tell that joke. What? And all the old people go, oh, we love jokes. Do you? I looked at Ian and he went, it'll be fine. I went, OK. And he sort of got on with his conversation. I went, oh, they're all like that. They're all sweet old faces. I went, father, sitting at home reading the paper, his little girl comes back, told the whole joke, got to the bit, we'll make something up. And they went, silence. I looked at Ian, he went, not that one! But I love bad excuses, when they're sort of embarrassing, sort of heinous things like that. I remember a friend of mine I went to college with was a medical student, and when he did his degree, he did an internship or junior doctorship at University College Hospital. And he was working nights, and it was about 1:30 in the morning, and this guy came in, and he had a bottle of sauce stuck up his arse, as you do, and completely disappeared. He hadn't left, like, you know, enough out. He hadn't thought of the return journey. Like, even Hansel and Gretel sort of left breadcrumbs, didn't they? He hadn't thought it through. He was getting so into it, the whole bottle up there, then he couldn't get any purchase. He couldn't, you know, tie a bit of string to it or something. Just think ahead. Or empty it out, fill it with concrete, put a broom handle in it, let that set, then you've got the full length of the bottle and a handle. But he hadn't put as much thought into it as me. Amateur. Now, so, and also, instead of going in there and saying, excuse me, mate, got a sauce bottle stuck up my ass. I know what I was doing, you know what I was doing. Get it out and I won't do it again. Instead of saying that, he went through his whole face-saving rigmarole of filling out an accident report, just making it worse for himself. And this is the excuse he gave, OK? He said, well, what happened was, this is a great excuse, right? He said, I'd been shopping at Safeway, and I came home with my shopping and I realised that I'd locked myself out of my house. So I put the shopping on the doorstep, and I saw that I'd left open a bedroom window, so I thought I'd get in there. So I tried to climb up the drain pipe, but as I was climbing the drain pipe, my belt broke, and my trousers and pants fell down. I went to grab, I lost my grip, and I fell, and I landed on the bottle that went straight, and that's what happened. So I went, okay, so got it out for him. When he left, they made an amendment to the accident report. My mate put, this story would be somewhat more believable if Safeway sold their bottles of sauce with condoms already attached. Just thought, oh, the condom, fuck. He knows I'm lying. Why did he put a condom on it anyway? Because he was then going to use it on his chips. But how mean is that? If you're into, you know what I mean, shoving condiments up your ass, buy two, they're only 79p. I guess, I don't know. One for chips, one for arses. You know where you are. You have to make bad excuses. I think kids should have pets. I think it teaches them life lessons. I haven't got children of my own, but I've got loads of nieces and nephews, and they've got kids of their own now. And I want to be a cool uncle and give them what they want, but I want to be a responsible one too and sort of not add to the stray problem. But I think I've solved the dilemma. This is what I do, okay, as a tip. You've got to wait till Christmas Eve, go to an animal shelter or an animal rescue home, not a breeder, and I go there and I go straight to the veterinary bit, and when they're dealing with, like, the little runts that are born all sick and they're just putting them down, they've got no quality of life, I go, no, don't kill that one, I'll take that one. And they go, it's only going to live a day. So I run home with it going, don't die yet, get a Starbucks, a little bit of Starbucks, don't die yet, don't die. And I run in and I call my niece, she runs up, I go, look, oh, you got me a puppy, I go, your best uncle got you a puppy, oh, thanks, go and play with it, quick. Go and play with it. And they take it to bed, Christmas Eve, and they sleep with it, and they wake up Christmas Day, it's cold, dead, stiff, gone. So, not a problem. And they always come down, and they say, oh, my puppy's dead. And I go, what, the puppy your uncle got you? He did his bit, and whatever happened after that isn't his problem. And they go, yeah. And I go, oh, no, maybe you rolled over on it on the night. Oh, did I? And they always go, I killed my puppy, I killed my puppy. I go, no, no, you didn't kill your puppy. Jesus killed your puppy. On his birthday, because you didn't spend enough on your uncle's Christmas present. So they usually buck their ideas up the next year.